Cause shit ain't over. Life may weigh you down. You can't throw in the towel. Don't give up, hold your head up. Cause it ain't over. So smile and believe. Some kind of way, he's gonna make a way. I know he will. Your time is here. As long as you're breathing, it ain't over. This is not the end. It ain't over. Go back and try again. Slow and a long grind, but you're frustrated. You've been trying for a long time. Look how far you've come, and just a little ways to go.
You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you.
Just want you to know that I believe in you.
Can't do, okay? Because if he said do it, that means you can. Amen, but amen, praise God, giving honor to Christ, amen, amen, hallelujah. The Lord God Jehovah, the blessed Holy Ghost, and my producer, Pastor Gerald Overall, also known as Pastor O, and his lovely wife, my blessed sister-in-law, amen, Sheila, and Running for Christ Ministries, and amen, Word of Faith friends, amen, hallelujah. Great Faith friends, amen. That's why I began at years ago. That's why I got delivered at. It was Faith Temple, and then it grew into Great Faith. Praise God. You know, I just thank God for the journey, because people told me I wouldn't make it 3 weeks. You know what? But they didn't know what I had went through or what went through me, amen, what went into me. They had no idea. You don't know what it's like to have the Holy Ghost until you have the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, it's a difference. It's a different. See, y'all think that little prayer, Lord Jesus coming to my heart, is just some religious song that we created. But, you know, it isn't. Hey, man, I'm getting text messages. Sorry about the distraction. You know, that same, but it's based on Romans chapter 8, amen, 10 through 13. We don't, like I say, God backs it up, and the results speak for itself. You see people's lives change, some faster than others, because some of us gravitate quicker than others. I was slow gravitating. I really was. Amen. Till I got, there's a difference in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to seek God about that. That's like in race cars, we call that like having a booster, a turbocharger, supercharger. That you got Holy Ghost plus. And you may think there's no plus, but it's different. But amen, hallelujah. Let's go before the throne of grace. Amen, the opportunity. Amen. And that's a reality. When you say that, when you believe that, guess what? In the spirit realm, which is more real than this realm, you actually appear before God's throne. You know, and those of us that do a lot of praying and worshiping a God, we know, because God will sometimes bless us with a greater level of his presence, his anointing, and you can feel, and your spirit man knows it's in touch with heaven. Hallelujah. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We do praise you. We do bless you. We do honor you. We give you all the glory and praise. Because of you, we live and move and have our very being. Father God, right now, we're asking right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we will know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the great and exceeding power you've made available to those of us who submit and obey you. Father God, we ask that you continue to bless us with the knowledge of your will, with the strength and courage to carry it out, so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of all your people. We want it to be all of you, amen, and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I tell you, it's a blessing. And despite all this going on, the Bible, Jesus said, when you see all this drama, know that your redemption draws nigh. Redemption is when you make the exchange, amen, for something that you have, amen. Like when you take bottles and redeem them for the 10 cent. But we were much more than 10 cent. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus. And there's no, that if you had all the money that was ever printed from the time they started using money, which was during Cain era, you still wouldn't have enough to purchase one soul. This junk about the day they sold to the devil. Satan broke. He can't buy no soul. Quit believing stupid. Let me be nice. I'm going to be nice. My wife getting on me. Listen. Don't believe that stuff. Them people never belonged to God in the first. Now, a Christian, if they were to sell out like that, then the Bible says you, they gone. God will leave them. He'll lead them over there. But that takes something. Because I don't, you know, it's rare, really rare, that a person who really knows Jesus would sell out to Satan. They know they're getting a lesser deal. Why are you going to go to hell? You know, something wrong. Somebody put something in their drink or food or something that damaged their brain, you know. Anyway, I hear that stuff about people, about these rappers. They never know Jesus. Let me tell you something. Listen, my brothers, let me tell you, man, we got a history. I'm telling you, see, and folks, it's, I know some folks still upset. I just recently ran into somebody that still think that I'm the way I was 45 years ago. Why? Because they doesn't have touch with God. They don't know how God changed people. You know, they think people can't change. No, listen, it's the, what it say, the love of God. The love of God, amen, that'll cause you to repent. Listen, that's the power right there. Amen. We're talking about the love of God. I'm going to tell you something. You can pretty much line up every message of God. If you hang them on them two commandments Jesus gave in Matthew 22:37-39, to love God, the love word, love is agape. Amen. And the love your neighbor. You'll find that's it. That's the whole gospel. That's Jesus said it. That's this whole life. Okay, so now we've delved in, we begin to step into the portion of the Davidic covenant. Now, understand, there's really one covenant, okay? But there's a process that God goes through and to get us there, too, because, you know, this is not a sit-down conversation that you can get in a four-year college degree, okay? This takes time. You know, there are things my pastor teach now that are from the Bible, but they weren't mentioned in the Bible. Like his five, when he laid on us the five elements of faith. The five elements of faith has always been in the Bible. Of those that operate in faith, use them. He just categorized God, the Holy Spirit, lined them up for him. That's hear the word, believe the word, hear the word, receive the word, believe the word, speak the word, and act on the word. Okay? He drilled us on that too. You see how it flowed out of me. But that's how you get it done. We are here to learn. So don't be getting tripping out when you go through challenges. Stop, take a break, and if you don't know the word, call somebody to do, and if they ain't nobody to call, ask Jesus, ask Holy Ghost to guide you, and he will. He said he will guide you into all truth. They don't lie. They don't have to, because he know you're just now getting here. You know, I mean, like I say, in my point of view, Adam was going to fall off sooner or later. You know, he might have got longer. It would have been a different process. Amen. You know, I'm revising my book and I'm highlighting some more stuff that God gave me. And I said, I'm not going from now on. You know, what pushed me was they was offering me a deal, but they gave me a time limit because of COVID and all that. And they was the one on a time limit, not me. And, you know, but anyway, some things that's going on. Remember what we gonna talk about today is what happened with David, okay? And David was appointed king, okay? Because in 1 Samuel. Now remember we went through the fact of how Israel had a king before they just had God over them, amen. And that's pretty much where it is now. And we just have God over us. Actually, we got Jesus over us. You know, it's really something unique in the process of study. There were 39 kings from Saul, amen, to the last king. I got my list here. I think it got it. I think this list have them numbered out. Anyway, out of those 39 kings, now there's a debate over how many of them did right. Some say 8, some say 7, because of Solomon, who we may get to today. And the point here is it distinguishes the sovereignty of God. You know, the fact that despite all of Satan's effort, because if you we read last week that God said despite, if you when he made the promise, I think we'll read that, because in case somebody just tuning in, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Amen. But I'm just go. Amen. Praise God. Do what I'm told. Amen. And this is David. David want to build God a house. Okay, now you got to understand, God is omnipresent. The whole universe can't contain him, okay? And then, so when you talk about building a house, you know, really, that's you know, it's a good thought, but it is unrealistic. And see, these are the things that people overlook when they be tripping about who Jesus is. Well, you know, you need to just let God be God the way he want to be God. That's what this is about. That's really what this life is about, letting God be God. And we tend to put limits on God and start telling God what we will and won't do. And that's how David wound up king. Saul decided that he was going to do things as he saw fit. Despite what the word of God at that time said, he defied it. You know, he gonna modify it because of what he thought it was necessary. Yeah, well, see, that ain't how it works. And you got to be cautious about that, because God will give you a revelation of something he's going to do. And as we see throughout history, we saw that with Abraham. God said, you're going to have a child. And now they got this mess in the Middle East that stems from that, from Abraham trying to help God. I've done that, try to help God and end up with a bigger mess. Amen. Then God got to clean up a bigger mess, you know, hallelujah. But anyway, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, it says, this is God responding to David in his desire to build God a house, because David was, amen, he was concerned about the fact that he's living good and large and blessed, amen, he come from herding sheep to king of a nation, and amen, all that without a college degree. God will bless you. I'm going to tell you, be submissive to God. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll make your enemies bow before you. We've seen that before with Joseph. Anyway, so God is responding, and he's telling David, because he's in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, God said that David was a man after his own heart. You know, and that means that David, that means he pursued. He made it his business as best as he could as a human to do what God say do, how he say do, when he say do. But we're going to find out that didn't always work out. All right. But anyway, he said, when thy days be fulfilled and you shall sleep with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom forever. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne and kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul when I put him away before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you, and your throne shall be established forever. In all these words, and according to the vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. You know, and that's the whole thing right now. So, you know, and you can ask God for a promise. Amen. He gives out promises and blessings, but you actually can access the promises of God. Amen, and claim them for yourself. But like David, you have to do what they do, what God say do. And a lot of people are doing nothing and expecting God to bless them. They calling themselves blessed, saying I'm gonna be blessed, God gonna bless, and do nothing. There is no way anybody in the body of Christ should be doing absolutely nothing. Don't think that prayer is light. Believe me. The world changes because of prayer. This is a lot connected to that. See, and these are the things, even though this is the thing that they did the most, because that's how you get things done. That's how God gets things done. But I'm not teaching on that. I do have a teaching on that. You just have to go through the videos. You'll see one called Ephesian Prayer and that on. Because you need to understand, because right now, if you're not praying, God is not even, he's not answering. You know, he will hold back. A lot of people have been benefiting from other people's prayer. Well, now you're going to know what the deal is. I've heard more than one prop man of God or woman say this, so it ain't something that I came up with. But anyway, so now we're moving on. David is king, all right? And God put him in there. You know, the word said God raised men up, and he pulled men down. That's throughout the Bible, too. You know, I'm telling you, what it says in Hebrews, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hand of a mighty God. Let me tell you something. Some of these politicians, that's another thing, too. The reason this is in the Bible is it also shows how God works through the political realm, okay? And as we're about to go through, where we at? Where should I be going here? 2 Samuel, I believe chapter 11. Now we got to, okay, we got that. All right, yep, that's about where we want to be. Now, God has been, now all this time, okay, David had been king. I don't know how many years it is, but anyway, it's been a while. Let me look at my list. I know I got a bunch of notes here. Hallelujah. But anyway, he's been winning battle after battle after battle after battle. And that's the one thing about it that says in Romans 8:31, if God be for you. Listen, I'm telling you something else. I'm going to tell you, sad but true. You know, don't be surprised if some of your friends and or you frenemies, as they call them, or even some relatives die early because of their mouth on you. And I'm telling you, don't put your mouth on nobody in the body of Christ. I don't even, if you have evidence, if they won't, if you seen them leaving the hotel with somebody they wasn't married to, your job is to pray for them, not to gossip. You never had that right. That ain't the fact of the matter. You're supposed to see them as someone in a battle losing the fight against the enemy, and you're supposed to always help them. I don't understand this about people. You know that can happen. And the scriptures say that. Galatians 6:1, lest you also, because the devil will only have, we the only enemy he got. He is not worried about Muslims. He's not worried about no Buddhists. They don't even have a God. They don't even pray. He's not worried about nobody but the body of Christ. I don't care what level they at. Everybody that has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, I don't care what their prename is, the Baptist, Presbyterian, that's irrelevant. If you see them losing the battle, you should see that's another member of the body. If you was in a war and you see somebody shooting at them, you'd shoot at the enemy or would you shoot at them? I remember the late Kenneth Hagin said the body of Christ is sad about how they attacked the wounded, their own wounded, you know? Anyway, so now we're coming through. Now, I want you to bear in mind, matter of fact, let's read this. Let's go first before I read this in 2 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Timothy, see? And 1 Timothy chapter 2, okay? And this is Paul speaking to the body of Christ, amen, to Timothy, a young pastor, amen. And he said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, that's the will of God. The word of God is the will of God. Now, and that's anyway. You know, I mean, I pray for our president because, one, if his success glorifies God. His, you know, anything that's not of God does not glorify God. Our singular focus should be the glory of God. I'm going to not pray for him because he's Democrat. I'm going to not pray for him because he's Republican. No, listen, don't go before God with that, because what will happen is when you have a need, guess what's not going to happen? He's not going to tell Richard to pray for you. Everybody gonna be silent, and Satan gonna beat the slop out of you, and you're gonna wonder what happened. I've seen people that have turned away from God, okay? But I tell you, if I go through their life with them, I'll see where they set themselves outside of the protection of God. You got to remember, Satan got an IQ of 2,500. He's been at this psychological warfare game for over 6,000 years. You don't master him. You got only way you can match him is to hook up with the Holy Ghost, who doesn't have a limit on his IQ. It's minimum. On a bad day, his IQ is like 250 trillion. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. Now we're going to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And mind you, keep in mind, you remember what we read before, Zechariah 3:2, and it said Joshua the high priest stood before the Lord and Satan at his right side. Remember that. Okay, it would be a different battle if we could see, you know, the enemy, you know, see him coming, you know, because he is ugly looking now, you know, and if we could, then we'd react different if we could see the devil. But it doesn't work that way. Remember, this is what this program called Training Day. And the reason is 1 John 3:2, although it does not yet appear, when we see him, we shall be as he is. Amen. So we got to understand that God wants to give us access, full access to his power, but he needs for us to learn to operate in love consistently. That's what the folks of this is. This is not just a history lesson. It's a history in how you're supposed to act when God calls upon you. Okay? Keep that in mind. Amen. Write down Galatians 6:1 and make that your preamble. So when you know, because if I trip and fall, I want somebody to help me get up, not just come up and stomp me and kick me in the... It says, and came to... I'm going to skip through some of this, you know, because I'm trying to cut. What we're going through is when David got caught up with Bathsheba. And you know the deep part about this. When I was reading this the first time, my father, the late Robert Overall, anyway, he noted the change in me. See, because I had to move out of where I was living, and I, you know, stationed with him till I could find another abode. And every day I would, before I go to work, I would work in afternoons, I'd break out the Bible and I'd read it, because it was something, man. I tell you, when you're reading through the Bible with the Holy Ghost, it's a different experience. But anyway, so... he had been hanging around, been dealing with Catholics, you know, and that began back just after World War II, because if somehow the Catholic priests had a hookup with the auto companies, and if they signed a document saying that you was a member of their organization, you could get into to the auto industry a lot faster. That's how that, he explained to me how that happened. So anyway, you know, they got their own doctrine. That's why they call themselves Catholic. They are different. They are different. But I pray for them. I pray for them, because when God delivered them, and there have been some deliverances, many of them, that God is glorified, because he's the only one who can get it done. I can't change people. But anyway, so I'm reading this, and so they have been taught that everybody in the Bible is these holy people. And I'm like, what Bible you read? Only holy person I read about in the Bible that did it right all the time, every time, was Jesus. Other than that, David? I don't think so. I get that. They know that scripture, that David was a man after God's own heart. Now, that sounds like he got it right all the time. Well, let's see what happened. All right. Let me see. Oh, is this the right one? I think. Oh, 2 Samuel. Wait a minute. I know I got it. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I keep doing this. Give me a break. I'm kind of over here. All right. Chapter 10. Wait a minute. That's 11. Okay. All right. My bad. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, a man in his service with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem. He should have been at the battle anyway. And it came to pass at evening time that David was arose from off his bed and walked on the roof of his house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent on and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" So this is a married woman. Now mind you, David's married too, and he got 10 wives. See, the king got 10 wives, and king had whatever woman he thought he wanted that was fine to him. And I say fine to him because we all different. You know, we different. Some of us like thin, some of us like thick, okay? But anyway, he had 10 of them. And they ain't had no, what's that stuff, that blue pill they had back then? Anyway, this is greed setting in. But none, and anyway, and David sent messengers, and he took her. Verse 4, David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. Okay, now let me explain that. You know, they have, I've known for years, they have a what is called the rhythm method. And that is women won't have sex a week before they have their menstruation cycle and a week after, because that's the time when they're most likely to get pregnant. Okay, but here, Bathsheba then got cleaned up, and she's in that. That's how this came to be. This is how they knew what they were, plus the study of, you know, Jewish history. But that's what this is referring to. You know, during that time, they didn't have sex while the woman was, you know, menstruating. All right. But anyway, so David hit up on her, and so now he didn't got her, and then she found out. In verse 5, the woman conceived and told David, "I am with child." Now mind you, now this is a man after God's own heart. Now, and again, I bring to your remembrance what it said in Zechariah 3:3, Joshua the high priest. So in this case, it said David the king. You know, I mean, right now, whatever it is, but the devil put this on him. Now, this is during this era. The children of Israel were limited, and they weren't limited in number, but they didn't have the knowledge of intercessory prayer that we now have and how important we are. This is why I don't know why Christians are so caught up as to who gets elected. If we never voted, we can still change the outcome of the election through prayer, because we have authority over the devil. This is what life is about, not just trying to be good and get to heaven, because you really can't be that good. Anyway, so, but David, when this happens, and you had to grow to this place. I had to grow to this place. God brought me to that place when I was working in the jail, and he had me praying for people I thought they should boil in oil, but he wasn't. That the point is that we are to be learning how God sees us. Okay, and that's how I focus. How God see me. When I see a person in trouble, I see me. I see what God see. With God, there's no big sin and little sin. Sin is sin, period. Doesn't matter. White lie, black lie, green lie is a lie. And if you tell black lies or little lies or white lies, you have to ask for forgiveness just like you do for just being present in it and lie, getting caught in it, okay? But again, what God hold in the record, he is not going to record how you felt or why you wouldn't. He's going to look at how, whether or not you applied the word to the situation as required by you. I'm not required to change the person. I'm not required to fix the person, but I am required to pray. I'm supposed to see any enemy attack as an attack against God, against the body of Christ. We have amnesia on that. And that is what's going on in the world today. The storms in California, see, this, if you don't have that attitude, guess what's going to happen when you go to pray? You have a need. You're going to think God didn't hear you. He heard you. But see, understand, if you don't, you can forget all this. The devils, they don't have what they call it, Alzheimer's. They don't forget. They hang with you. Just like you have a guardian angel assigned to you, Matthew chapter 18, then you got a demon with you. They don't mess with people that don't have one. Well, everybody got one. But they see the activity in the spiritual realm. Think about this, God. Let the devil exist. You are in training mode. You're not in religious mode. You'll get beat up if you're religious. And again, like I say, so what happened, this is where we go back to the seven principles of prayer of what it caused to get success. Pursuit of the will of God. Do what God say do, how he say do. I mean, this is a constant. If it wasn't this, we could just get saved and go to heaven. But it don't work like that. That's not God. See, God is thinking a billion years down the road. Okay, we're thinking about, well, if I just get through this part. No, he's seeing a whole different program. It has to be. Look at the evidence. Why are we going through all this? See, you know, again, like I said, I see what's happening with people, but this is what this is about anyway. So this is about praying for those in authority. See, our role, this is why this is played out, so that we can see what happens when we don't do our role. Now, the man Nathan, amen, is a prophet of God. He had access to God, and without question, he spent time before God because God never called him out, okay, for being wrong. But anyway, we're going to see that. But he called him to go and point out this was wrong, all right? And then look at this. This could get deep. Who we had on time? Yeah, we got a little more time. We can read on this. Anyway, okay. So now, listen at this. David is going to set Saul up. I mean, he's going to set Uriah up, try to cover up. Anyway, so I'm going to switch Bibles here. Well, because I want to say this in a little more closer to English. All right. The woman conceived. And then David sent word to Joab and said, send me Uriah the Hittite. Now, that's her husband. All right? Now, look at what it's going to go from bad to worse. Okay? Then David said, send unto Joab. Then David sent word to Joab, which was a general in the army. And he said, send me Uriah the Hittite. And so Joab sent Uriah to David, and when Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab was and how the people were doing and how the war was progressing. I mean, just having basic talk with the man. And then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet and spend time at home. And Uriah left the king's palace, and a gift from the king was sent out after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the king's palace with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. So what David was trying to do was get him to go down and, you know, get busy with his wife, which was a fine woman. And so that way when she get ready to have a baby, you know, he could say, oh, you had a baby, Uriah. You know, he's going to hide it out. See, this is the thing. You can do, as the scriptures say, in the dark, and God will bring it out to the light. You know, and when he does that, it's because he loves you. Because he can't forgive you if you don't confess it. You know? So, you know, anyway. So Uriah didn't go down to his house. And I'm going to skip through some of this. So basically, this is what happened. David tried to get Uriah to go, and he tried to hide the fact that he got Bathsheba pregnant by getting Uriah, a faithful servant to him and God. This is how the devil worked, to lay up with his wife, you know, and then he would be through, but that didn't go that way. So when Uriah, if you read on, didn't do that, David sent him back to the war. Amen. And Uriah didn't want to, he didn't feel comfortable him being at home with his wife and everybody else sleeping in tent and God sleeping in the tent. God don't sleep, actually. But anyway, so this is faithful man. So listen at this, y'all. Listen at this. Being faithful don't stop the devil from trying to kill you. you got to be sensitive to God. Nah, Uriah didn't have the Holy Spirit, so he didn't know what was going on, okay? And so, you know, we'll see Uriah again, you know, and I'm sure him and David made up in heaven because, you know, you can't get in there if you don't. you had to forgive. But anyway, so what happened was Uriah, David sent a message to Joab and said, all right, put Uriah with a battle of the worst and then, you know, and let him get taken out. You know, when they up on him, then you back off. So he done basically put a contract out on the man. All right. So now we're going to skip through to chapter 12. And then this is when God called him out, okay? Forgive me for that. It said, the Lord sent Nathan the prophet. See, God will call you out. This is why I had somebody the other day tell me, like, they don't like being around prophets because they're afraid they're going to call them out. I'm like, well, what you up to? I know how they feel. They can be intimidating, man, because you be done call somebody, you know, I've been bad about calling people phony heads. I don't, you know, a phony head is a person that sits at the traffic like blocking traffic while they on Facebook. Quit that. Anyway, if that's you. Anyway, the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to David, and he came, and he said, there were two men in the city, one rich and one poor. The rich man had very large number of flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but the little ewe lamb, which he had purchased and nourished. And it grew up together with him and his children. And it ate his food, drank his cup, and lay in his arms, and it was like a little daughter to him. And now a traveler, a visitor, came to the rich man and to avoid taking one of his own flocks of the herd to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. He took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for him and his guest. Then David's anger burned intensely against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord live, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall make restitution for the ewe lamb four times as much as the lamb is worth because he did this thing and had no compassion. Thief, ain't it? Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord, O God of Israel, I anointed you as king over Israel, and I spared you from the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives, plural, into your care and under your protection. And I gave you the house, the royal dynasty of Israel and Judah, and if that had been too little, I would have given you much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? And as you see this now, greed is there's a level of greed in the world and in America that is incredible. And it's even though they see it, it's kind of they call it the monkey paw trap. You know, they had this process where they try to teach a monkey not to steal or something like that. But anyway, they put this cookie in this jar, and in order to escape, he had to let the cookie go. But he won't escape. He won't let the cookie go, and he can't get his hand out with the cookie. And that's what it is with people. You got to understand what you're dealing with. And one of the things I'm going to tell you now, you need to be concerned about this, because what Satan is going to do before Jesus come back, before the rapture, is he's going to expose people to prosperity. Now, I hear a lot about that, you know, about the great prosperity that's coming. But I also look at what that did to Israel. That by the time they got to that generation where it says, and everyone did in his own eyes what they thought was right, and this was the generation that knew not the Lord, look at what we got now. I talk to people every week when I ask them, do you know about the second coming of Christ? They don't know. If they don't know about the second coming, most don't know. They think this is a religion. You got generation. I'm talking about an upscale neighborhood. They think because they got money, everything is all right, and they the blessed of God, and they blessed by God. But you know what? You're not blessed until you bless the blesser. If you just receive, and you like a child. Children, you can give them as much as you give them, and they will just take it. okay? But here, like I say, this is it. David got king, had 10 wives, he want another man's wife. Come on now, 10 fine wives, and you want somebody else because she looked different. That's all it is. She looked different. And she might not be the knowledgeable as the ones you have. I'll put it like that. You know, it might be a downgrade. And then what? For what? See, he would, you know, this is enough. But again, on the background is Satan at work, okay, against the kingdom of God. And again, when God highlights stuff, remember what God said when he promised him, because that applied obviously to David, you know, that if you practice iniquity, he's not going to take the kingdom from you like he did Saul. Okay, because why? This is the lineage of Jesus, amen, in manifestation. But it also distinguishes the difference between Jesus and man and the common man as to who he is. Amen. Hallelujah. All righty. So he identifies it. Okay, the fact that that it was Uriah. I mean, God gave him all the details. Okay. Matter of fact, let's read this. It says, "You have struck down Uriah." Verse 9. I'm reading out of Amplified. It said, "Why have you despised the word of the Lord, doing evil in his sight?" Remember that. God is omnipresent. You can't go nowhere, do anything without him seeing it. "You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and have taken his wife to be your wife. You have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house." And David's kingdom was never the same after that, you know. I mean, it was always trouble in his household. If you read it, we're not going to go through all that detail. Okay. It says, verse 11, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will stir up evil against you from your own household." His children start nutting up. Okay. It was really some drama after David died and before he died. All right, and he said, "I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight." Man, I'm telling you, let me tell you, the longer you've been at this, see, I can tell you, I've been at this for 45 years. See, if I do something dumb, it's going to be worse on me than somebody that's a new Christian, I'm telling you. So it behooves us that's been at this a while. Anyway, but now I want to get to verse 13. This is what one of the things that that helped me in this, because David, unlike Saul, whenever he got caught up, this is what David did. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has allowed your sin to pass without further punishment. You shall not die." See, David didn't make no excuses. And I'm going to tell you, 1 John 1:9, it said, "If you confess your fault, God is faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." Okay? Then don't play God. Ask him what caused the weakness if you don't know. And just don't play God. Now, I'm big or small, don't play God. Okay? Because that God know us. Come on now. You're not God. I'm not God. I'm a little G, okay, spirit man, okay? And I'm learning this process. Again, as you grow up, I'm telling you, I can't get away with five-minute prayer, one-minute prayer. I can in some cases. But for the most part, God expects me to pray daily. Amen. And that's another of them areas. Amen. Serving God with prayer. I'm telling you, you can't just be receiving. If you just receive, I had an older sister tell me about retards in Christ. I'm really beginning to understand, because some Christians are at the same level they was 30 years ago. Something wrong. We sing a song, "Who wouldn't serve a God like this?" How do you not serve him? How hard is prayer? How hard is it to take a few minutes to pray? You know, when I see crime on TV and they don't have a solution, I pray for God to send the Holy Spirit to the believing officers, investigators, and angels for the unbelievers. And see, because we have authority to command angels, they can come into the earth and assist and locate the people that think they got away with crime. That's how things work. See, God is always looking at how we handle the power he's given us, because how we handle it in this life tells him how we will handle it in the next life. I'm telling you, I'm still hearing men of God says a lot of Christians going to get disappointed at the rapture because they're going to think Jesus said it's going to be some people that he say he never knew. And I see some crazy stuff going on. I'm telling you, mark your steps. Mark your steps. Make sure they're covered by the word. Make sure you're stepping, do the will of God. Come on now. You may think praying for your pastor, you know, instead of finding fault with him, he's teaching stuff. We don't need to know that. Listen, he's following what God said. If God directs the teaching for one person, then you just sit there and get your little nugget out of it. Every time I get a nugget, it's about the size of a basketball. Amen. They got some crazy mouths. This is why as sad I see people, I just read about an athlete that just died. I'd be curious as to where they were in Christ, if they were in Christ at all. 25-year-old dropped dead. Come on, now. I'm 71. I haven't been in a motorcycle accident at 95 miles an hour. I haven't been shot at some of everything. And I'm still here. Closest I've ever come to dying was choking on a strawberry and wasn't nobody around to give me a Heimlich, and I ended up bouncing on the corner of a table and it got dislodged. I'm telling you, you want to be, I mean, dying ain't that all that bad for a blessed saint of God that actually is in Christ. Amen. Even though the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that some people going to get over there, yet as by fire. In other words, they're going to be there empty-handed. I don't want to go before God empty-handed. Let me tell you something. When you pray for somebody to get saved, if they don't get saved because you prayed for them right then, when they get saved, God going to accredit your account with that. Whatever your pastor does in the way of, whatever your church does in the way of soul winning and giving and blessing, you, your little dollar means a million to God. Whatever it accomplishes big with God. That all you can, don't let the devil tell you, oh, you're only putting $2 in. Did God know how much you don't have? $2, you only got $3. You put $2 in there, God see your sacrifice. Believe me, that means he see that he can trust you with 20 next time. See, you go through and learn. Let God teach you to be who you are. Don't let the devil tell you what you can't do. Listen, you know this daycare business started with some old church mothers taking care of kids in their basement. That's how that started. I remember seeing, I know one of the sisters that was involved in that way back in the 70s. And that sister pulled up in a car y'all never seen or heard of called a Fleetwood Talisman. That car was trimmed in gold, you know. See, so I'm telling you, you don't know what God will do. He'll give you one. Think about it. God gave somebody an idea to make a sliver of wood, put them in a box, and call them toothpicks, and he became a millionaire. Don't think everything got to be done. Now, listen, the Bible say get knowledge, so that getting an education and getting a skill is a good thing, but you want to be educated in God, all right? And like I said, see, so we have an advantage that David didn't have. Well, David did have the Holy Spirit on him, but not like we have it constantly, okay? All right, so we got here with David, and like I said, the mindset here is, amen, David just confessed. See, now, what that does is that restrains Satan from further attack, even though he's going to go through some challenges, and those challenges come back. Why? Because as Paul said, that these were written for our admonition, for an example for us to understand. This is why, I remember years ago, back when I was above, you know, this man of God got caught up in some stuff, amen. And I didn't understand spiritual warfare, but by that time I had read Galatians 6:1, and I witnessed all these other pastors attacking this man rather than speaking up for him. Okay, why? They wanted what he had. They wanted to get access to it. That's what they saw. They didn't think God, they didn't even think about what God wanted, okay? And then the man wind up going to prison, amen. He back on TV now. But the fact of the matter is, we should have been singularly focused because, like I said, I was fighting my own battles, okay? So, but this is what God wants us to see. This is the consistency that we need to apply to life. That's what this is about. Amen. To not just see, don't gravitate to the fact that, okay, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, quit being a sinner and just be saved by grace. Cut that out, all right? I mean, this is like I said, that's the focus you want to have. You're in Christ. See, this shows you, this is just another example of how to walk in Christ. Okay, the challenges that you're going to go through. God said, not David didn't say that. God said that David was a man after his own heart. And we've seen Abraham, okay, man after God's own heart. Okay, and then, you know, it's really another irony that Adam did the same thing that Saul did. You know, rather than admit, just say, Lord, I have sinned, he what he do? He blamed God and Eve, that woman you gave me. Don't do that. Don't do that. Take it. Whatever it is, take it. Because you see here, when David confessed, God just, he forgave him. He forgave him. Instant. He cast his fire to the east from the west. That's why I live this life. See, that's why I learned this. This is why you have to read the word to see how God does business. See, I don't have to be concerned. I don't have to live in fear. And I have met people. I met a lady that had she was at that time, it was, you know, I wasn't in law enforcement, and I had this friend that was kind of corrupt. He was corrupt. Anyway, and I remember seeing this sister in the Lord over at his house. You know, she was a beautiful sister, but he had money, and that's why she was over there. And I'm asking her, well, what are you doing here? You know, and you know what she told me? She kept having evil thoughts. And I'm waiting for her to give me some more details. And she just thinking she wasn't saved because she had evil thoughts. And I'm like, you do know that the devil plants thoughts. Every thought that come in your head, remember that, every thought come in your head does not belong to you until you act on it, whether you say it or act on it. Just coming in your head doesn't make it your property. All right, don't claim it. But she had turned from God. She turned back to God. I'm glad to see, because I saw it later on. She had turned back to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And that dealer, you know, I couldn't get him to come to the Lord. Amen. We prayed for him, and he ended up dying. You know, I'm telling you, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. Messing with his children is dangerous. And that was 35 years ago plus, somewhere in there. And right now, people are dying quicker, faster. People that, you know, when I seen that article, that young man just died, I'm like, wow. So I'm wondering, did he say something against the saint of God? Did he say something to God? Because that's too early to be dying. 25, please. Your middle age is 70, according to the Bible. 4 and 10. That's middle age. That's not max. And then it says, by reason of strength. Hey, listen. God said that the days of a man should be, the years of a man should be 120. Okay? 120. Go read your Bible. By that stuff. How you cutting your life short. Anyway. Well, we done reached another end of this segment. So, in order to receive that forgiveness that quick, you need to be into the body of Christ. And we're talking about a covenant with God. And we're going to give you an opportunity to establish that covenant right now, because God wants you in his family. That's why you exist. That's the reason for your being. His intention was for you to decide to become a member of his family. Then he'll go from there. Amen. I'm telling you, this is a good life to live. And we don't have long. You know, I've been at this 45 years. Ain't going to be another 45 years without Jesus running the planet. I'm telling you, if Jesus ain't back by 2030, I'm going to be surprised. But that would have meant that the body of Christ woke up and started praying like they're supposed to. And that's the only thing going to make that happen. There's a meteor headed toward the earth, Amen. I mean, the president did sign off on creating a cashless society. I mean, it's just so many things. All the things for the end times are in play, not to mention the rise in violence. You'd have had almost 40 mass killings in America alone this year. It had over 660 last year, 690 the year before. The violence is going to go up. And if you're unprotected, you know, dying, like I say, ain't going to be the problem. Dying and going to hell is a real problem because there's no redemption once you get there. This is how simple it is. Say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I believe the Bible is your word. And I believe what is written in it. And I believe that we were all born in sin. And I accept your offer of forgiveness. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth and I believe in my heart that I am saved and I am born again. And if you're coming back to Christ, just say, Lord God, forgive me. And I receive your forgiveness according to 1 John 1:9. And I am forgiven and restored. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have the book offer at the end of this. Amen. It's only a couple of seconds from this point right here. And, I mean, take advantage. If you have somebody in prison, jail, send them a copy. I still got a few copies, amen, on Amazon. I don't know exactly how many it is. I haven't looked it up. But I'm trying to keep them. I want them in there because, you know, they do a lot of reading in prison, but it'll help them. It has all the things they need to know. It takes away the mystery of what it is to be a Christian, and pray for them. Amen. Don't just send them a book, but pray for them that God will give them that prayer I pray at the beginning, the spirit of wisdom. That means for God to interject his intelligence so they can see according to his will. Amen. Remember that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. See you next week.
Yeah. Today. Said I woke up to the summer shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no cloud get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today, ooh.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your road. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day.
Ooh.
This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart.